This is a resume of the life of Joseph Sherman in Europe. Tell me about your home in Europe. Where did you live?
I lived in Jeluduk.
Jeluduk?
Z-Z-Z-Z-E-L-U-D-O-C-K. Jeluduk.
Where is that located?
That's in Vinland. That's the state of Vinland.
That was a small town, I presume.
It was a small town, yeah. That's correct.
Was that a country in the country?
No, no, that's a small town. A nice small little town, very nice.
What kind of a house did you live?
We had a duplex, six homes each.
It was a duplex?
Yes, one we lived ourselves, and that we rented that.
Was it brick or?
No.
What was it? What was
shingles
it made of?
Like shingles.
It was made of shingles?
Shingles, that's right.
How many rooms were there in that house?
Six each. Yeah, no, we didn't have no horses. We had stables, but no horses. We keep these tables for, you know, for lumber to keep over there, you know, certain things like, you know.
Tell me about your immediate family that lived in the house with you. How many brothers did you have?
I had three brothers. I mean, me, I'm three. My two brothers and myself are three.
Two sisters, five.
Two
brothers. Were they older than you? Two brothers
no,
and three sisters.
No. My one brother who got killed is older than I am.
Oh, one brother older.
Older, and one brother is a younger one. He's in the United States.
Yeah.
And I had two sisters. One an older by Fanny, and the other one was a younger
one. Two sisters.
One. Yes, two sisters.
One was older?
One was older, one was younger. Fanny was the oldest one.
Are they all living or dead?
No.
Everybody's dead?
Only this brother, one. I brought him over to this country.
Which one? The older brother?
The younger one.
The younger
the
brother
just
living.
Kept living, that's it. I got him right here.
How long did you live in your house?
Well, I was about 20 years old.
Yes, but how long did you live in the house? How long did you live in
you
the
mean
house?
My parents, I mean.
Yes, yeah. Well, and you too.
Well, I lived about 20 years.
You you lived about 20 years.
Myself, because I was 20 years old when I came over here.
What kind of work did you do?
You mean a home?
Yes.
I was going to school.
Oh, how nice.
And I used to help my parents, you know, in drugstore.
Your father was a druggist?
My brother was a druggist, and my brother-in-law was a druggist.
Marvelous. And you used to help in the store?
Yeah.
But you weren't a pharmacist?
No.
You mean you we were at the counter and so on?
Well, you know, I've been helping and ever to do things, you know. Well, in fact, you know, I knew, you know, lots of things, but I wasn't allowed to do it, you know.
That's right.
But between knowing and doing it, it's two different things.
Your brother and brother-in-law were both in
that's
the
right.
druggists.
That's right.
What were the languages spoken in your home?
Well, we spoke
Russian,
Polish, and Jewish.
And Yiddish.
That's right.
Russian,
Polish,
and Yiddish.
Yiddish, that's right.
No English.
No. That country was 50 years ago, you know.
What kind of schooling did you have in Europe?
Well, I only had this public school.
Oh, you went to public school and finished?
Oh, sure.
You completed the completed the course.
My education was disrupted because in the wartime in 1914, you know, that's all. I was glad to.
That's 1914, you mean?
First World War.
But that was here.
No, I wasn't here. I was at home.
Oh, it was interrupted?
Sure.
Oh.
I came here in 1921, dear.
Oh, yeah. All right. Now, wait a minute. What was your synagogue like?
Oh, we had two synagogues, you know. We had the Hasidic, you know, Hasidic.
Yes.
And Sephardic.
And Sephardic.
Yes.
Sephardic. I'm not sure how that's spelled, but
that's
I'll...
That's a bit Sephardic synagogue. I mean Ashkenaz, I'm sorry, man.
Ashkenaz instead
that's
of Sephardic.
Right. That's right, yeah, I'm sorry. Sephardic, you know the Sephardic, that's right. Ashkenaz. That's right.
What was it like? Was it a brick building?
Yeah, oh yes, solid.
Was it a large building?
Yes.
You know, you were more educated than most of them I have met. Most of the men of your age, they didn't have all this good schooling and didn't come from the kind of family that you have, that you should be very proud of. That's right. What were your relations with the non-Jewish people in your community?
Oh, we had the finest. What would you call the head of the queen, not the, like, just 1 minute, He was related to Kaiser Wilhelm, you know, like a prince. The prince from our city, you know, he had maybe about 75 or 100 employees, you know.
Yes.
And the stores all over in our town belonged to him, to the prince, you know,
Yes.
And we used to rent the stores from him.
Oh.
They used to come down to us and do business, and we really was.
You mean your father had
father
the prince and,
mother,
and all his employees?
No. They used to come to buy from us.
Yes, but the
were
prince
very much inclined.
But the prince used to come himself.
Himself with 6 horses, 8 horses, with help and with everything, you know.
Prince came with his retinue,
yes.
They called, to purchase
merchandise. Chetvertinsky, they call him.
What did they call him?
Chetvertinsky.
Is that what his name was?
That's his name. He was related to Kaiser Wilhelm.
He was related to
Kaiser Wilhelm.
Very interesting.
Oh, he had maybe 100 employees over there in his mansion, serving him. He had the farms and the boys and the roots and further. By the way, I can say something else, you know. My father was, we had license license, no Jew was allowed to come to Moscow, you know what I mean? The Jewish people wasn't allowed to come into Moscow or Petrograd.
Yes,
follow
you weren't allowed to go.
My father, we children were allowed to go to Moscow.
Permitted to go.
We paid taxes for 3 months.
Oh, is that the
rule?
You
follow me?
Yes, I understand.
We paid taxes so much that you maybe were allowed to go to Moscow for 3 months.
Oh, I didn't know this. This was a rule?
Sure. If you pay a big tax, you know, you're allowed to go to Moscow for 3 months.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
But the Carlos Bas, Pevgildi Kupets, you know, that's
yes.
A great honor. Listen.
Yes. For his family was permitted to
go to Petrograd or Moscow for 3 months. To paying high taxes, the government.
In other words, you're almost considered nobility.
Huh?
You're almost considered nobility. The privileged few, huh?
Privileged.
That's right.
Oh,
did you belong to or attend any political organizations such as the Zionists?
You mean here?
No,
yeah.
No, in Europe.
No. Oh, yes,
Bund?
Zionist. Oh, yes, that's this. When everybody else was a Zionist.
Belonged to the Zionists.
And I belonged to the militia over there, you know, in the wartime.
Oh, you belong to the militia?
Oh, sure, because we didn't have many times.
What do you call that militia? Just the militia?
Many times we didn't have no government at all. We had to, we in town had to, you know, to organize ourselves, you know, to become...
And they called it the militia.
Sure, sure.
What was this militia? What did they do?
Well, we used to carry guns and protect the city, you know. Because there was no law and order over there, you know. We didn't have no government.
Oh, carried guns. And what else did you carry?
I had access and ammunition, sure. Self-protection.
Carried guns and ammunition for the government.
Not for the government, for our own protection. Because there was no government
there.
For the town's protection.
For the town's protection.
That's correct.
Since there was no government.
No government, that's right.
What was the relationship of the government of your country to the Jews?
Well, them Poles and the Russians, they wasn't too good.
No.
But, you know what I mean, as far as we concerned, you know what I mean, you know, we got along very nice with them, you know, because we were, like I said before, we were in, you know, in the higher class.
That's
you know,
right, that's
and
right.
And my brother went to college, and my, you know, but otherwise, you know, the Poles were, you know, the Russians.
The Poles and the Russians did not agree?
No. You know, a Jew wasn't allowed to live in a village, you know that, you know, but
You lived in the village.
No, that's a town.
Oh, that's a town. Oh, a Jew wasn't permitted?
That's a big difference. A Jew wasn't allowed to live in a village. A Jew wasn't allowed to be in the legal business.
Wait just a minute. I never knew that one. They weren't allowed to be in the liquor business?
They weren't allowed to be in the liquor business.
What else?
Well, lots of more restrictions, but you know, that's all minor things, you know what I mean?
Well, it all counts. What did you think of America at this time? When you were in Europe.
Well, my desire or my aim was coming to Europe when I was 14 years of age, man.
Well, what did you think of America, though? What did you think of it?
Well, like, if I wouldn't think nothing about it, I wouldn't...
Yes, I know, but
I
did
want
you,
to come here.
You wanted to come. For
I
what
want
reason?
To come. Because I could see it, that no future in Europe for me.
Why did you leave the country in which you were born?
Because I didn't want to go to military service. That's what I'm is.
I have a lot of that. Tell me why you came to the United States.
Well, I'll tell you why, dear. Then.
Why did you come?
Well, like I said before,
it's a big dream. A golden dream,
it's not a dream, you know. I always thought that it's more advantage for me, you know, to come here and I have better opportunities than I had over there where I was, even with all the goodness and the kindness that I have home, you know.
Yeah.
We lived very highly, you know, but to me it didn't appeal too much.
Did you have a definite destination? Did you plan just where you wanted to go in America?
Oh, yes, sure.
Where did you want to go?
My hand brought me over here.
Yes, but where did you want to go?
I had to come to Newcastle, dear.
Oh, you want your definite destination?
That's what I
come
because
to
my
Newcastle.
Papers. Because my papers called for Newcastle. Dear.
Oh, Newcastle.
That Newcastle PA.
So you had a definite destination,
absolutely.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's right.
Why did you pick Newcastle?
That my hand brought me over here.
Oh.
She sent me the papers, dear. You know, I couldn't come otherwise.
How long did you stay there?
Newcastle lasted only 5 months.
Oh, all right. Were you part of a group traveling together? Did
yes,
you come?
We came with a boat, whole boat.
Did you go with some other people from the same town?
No, I was the only one.
Oh.
I mean, there were lots of people, but I was only from my own town, you mean?
Yes.
Only I was the only one.
You were the only one?
That's
but you did come with a group?
Yeah, oh yes.
I didn't have any brothers or sisters with you at all.
No.
You were alone.
All myself. I wish I would.
How did you travel?
I traveled to Belgium. I came to Antwerp from Belgium.
But how did you go? Right from your...
From we had to travel to Belgium, you know.
Yes, from where? On what? A train or...
Train.
First you had to be on a train.
A train to Belgium.
First you had to
have
a train.
Antwerp, Belgium. Antwerp.
Went to?
Antwerp. Belgium. And from there I took the boat to the United States.
On a train you went?
Yeah, that's right. Go ahead.
And then on?
A boat to the United States.
Boat. Yes. Who met you? Did you any organization meet you or any
no,
an individual?
No.
You mean nobody met you with the
nobody
boat?
Nobody met me.
Tell
the experience we had, you know. When I was on the boat, somebody told me that I got that to show $50 before I got off on the boat.
You had to show $50?
Yes, but otherwise, or somebody should come down to meet me.
Oh.
I didn't have the $50 with me, not because, you know, I could farm, because I thought I'm going to the Golden Ale dinner, I didn't have no money.
That's what I wanted to hear.
But when I came to Ellis, to Ellis Island over there, you know, they called my name, they told me there's $50 laying for me. My Tante Moreski from Newcastle instead mailed me the money direct to Antwerp to myself.
Oh.
She left the money right over there in Ellis
Your
Island.
Your aunt left the money for you for $50.
For $50.
And you had to show that for what reason?
That was the law.
Oh,
you
had
must
to show
have showed $50 before
I
you come to the United States.
I never heard that one either.
Well, they don't tell you nothing. They're sure, you had to have $50 before you come to the United States. Or somebody come down to get you. But I find the money right over there laying for me. Yeah, it's going, you can hear it.
What objects or papers did you have bring with you when you came here?
Nothing.
You mean you didn't bring a paper, passport, anything?
Oh, yes, sure.
But you didn't bring any papers with you?
No, just the passport.
Just the passport.
Can't come without a passport, you know.
I know. And you brought no other papers at all?
No, nothing.
Is your name the same as it was in Europe?
No.
No. All right. What was it changed to now? What was your name?
My name was Shevach.
Wait, change why and to what?
That's right. The name was Shevach.
Wait a minute, just name. Was Shevach. How do you
spell
it?
S-Z.
S-Z.
S-Z-E-W-A-C-H.
S-Z.
E.
E.
W. A. C. H. Shevach.
It was changed
to Sherman.
Why did you change it?
Because I thought I was thinking about my future and I was thinking about my children. It's easier for them to not come down asking to spell it, you know, man, listen.
What first impressed you when you came to the United States?
Not very much. I've been through hell. Very much when I came over.
Really?
I mean, in a hell. It's nothing to be describing, you know.
In what way?
I didn't like Newcastle because it was a small town. I wanted to go to school and I couldn't go to school.
Just a minute. And you couldn't get to school?
I couldn't because my aunt and my uncle told him that I got lots of time yet, you may know, let's get walk a little bit with them, you know, and then go to school. You know, the old-fashioned ideas.
Oh, yes.
And I taught myself, when my little niece came up to me, talked to me, and I didn't understand her, and she didn't understand me.
Oh, in English.
In English, that got me so that if I would keep it up with this, with the ambition what I had, you know, I would be a professor now.
And so you left there after 5 months.
That's right. I came to Pittsburgh.
What first impressed you when you arrived in Pittsburgh?
Very, very much.
In what way?
Because I could see it there. That's a city with lots of opportunities. And knowing my abilities and my desire for work, you know, I could see it. There's a future for me.
Do you remember your first day in Pittsburgh? What was it like?
When I came to Newcastle.
No, when you came to Pittsburgh.
Oh, to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Well, it was I rent a room on the third floor.
Where?
In Center Avenue. A man met me and he asked me, do I have a job?
You mean he met you right on the street?
On the street, right, standing across the police station up there, you know. I said, no. He said, would you like to make money? I grinned, you know, I can make money. I said, yes, I do. And he says, how about you going sell stockings from house to house? 3 pairs for $5. And he gave me a nail file. And you know, when you take a silk stockings, when you pull it tight, you know, it's just like a wire, you know. You know the trick, you know. Mm. And he showed me, and well, I went out the first day, and I made $30 the first day. That's, we're talking about 48 years ago.
How long did you stay in this job?
Not too long, another thing. I managed to do my business with the German people.
Oh, you really? You're traded with
trade with the Jews, with the German people, being I know their language fluently.
Where was this in Germany?
That's in Carrick.
In Carrick. That's interesting. Was there anything about life in the United States that disappointed you during the first 5 years?
I wouldn't say that. That's the only disappointment I had is the first year's time, that's all. And then everything was
coming. What was the first year?
Well, the first year I carried 500-600-pound blocks high for the railroad.
Just a minute.
With American Growers Express. I worked for American Growers Express Company.
As a nice man.
No, when the cars used to come, you know, with fruit, we used to ice them.
Oh.
Ice them and put salt in them, you know.
And you worked hard in the stockyard.
Not in the stockyard.
No.
The only thing when the cars used to pull in the station, follow me, you know, we had to ice them with ice and with salt.
The railroad cars.
The railroad cars, that's right. Oh, that was.
Then what did you do? You didn't do that for a whole year, did you?
No, only for 3 months.
Yeah. Then what did you
do? And then a man met me.
Another man?
Another man met me and asked me if how many languages do I speak.
Yes.
I told him I speak any language you want, you just tell me. And he said, would you like to be insurance man? I says, yes. He says, you'll make $100 a day. Listen to the little story. I just looked at a man and I thought to myself, the man is, he said, he took me into insurance company. I don't forget, it's in 50 Avenue, like 50 years ago. And they gave me a license and they gave me, you know, buttons and everything, you know. And I went out, the first day I went out, I made $130.
Oh my goodness. All right, that's the first five. Just I want to go on with that now.
Because
go on
with, I will
listen to that.
You left.
Well, all right, okay. I'm going to get more. All right. Now, so you were disappointed in the fact that you weren't happy with the kind of work you did.
That's right.
Was there any point during the first 5 years when you felt unjustly treated because you were an immigrant?
No, absolutely not. It's nothing to do with it. I felt just as important as anybody else. It didn't bother me.
After having lived in the United States for 5 years, did you feel that you had accomplished or would eventually accomplish your goal in coming here?
Absolutely. More than my goal.
Where was your first home in this area? Oh, you did say.
Newcastle.
The neighborhood, with whom did you live?
With my aunt, uncle.
Was it a nice location?
No, Newcastle, a small town.
Yeah, I know it was a small town, and Newcastle had pretty homes too.
Yeah, I know, but that wasn't that.
In a mediocre home?
Mediocre home. Yeah, mediocre home, that's right.
How long did you live there? You say 5 months.
5 months, that's right.
This is repetition. What kind of work did you do when you first came to this country? Well, you...
I worked for my uncle, for Newcastle, I worked.
Yes.
That's right. You ought to put this up, you know.
What did he do again?
About grocery business.
You were a clerk?
Clerk, that's right.
How'd you get training for this work? Just
No training at all.
No training.
I was dissatisfied from the day I came in there.
Yes. What kind of work did you do when you first came to Pittsburgh? Well, you told me that.
I told you that. You get money down, you know. Over there, you know, I started to work for a fellow for the sell stockings.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I was working...
Sold insurance?
Insurance.
And made, how much did you make? $130 the first day?
First day, that's right. And then...
That time, if you continued... It made
no,
a fortune.
No, but see, the end is it was a fake company.
Oh!
And I find out about it, you know, it's a
so
fake company. I quit that.
Oh, sure. How much did you earn? Now, see, now, just a minute. That was $130 for the day.
That was only the first day I did because we went to every 7 hours.
What were your hours?
Oh, it was, we worked from 9 o'clock till 10, 11 o'clock in the night that day, you know. It was 90% for me and 10% for them. That was good business.
Did you work on Saturdays and Jewish holidays?
Oh, yes.
You did?
Yes.
Most of them didn't. How long did you remain this work?
Oh, about 2 months.
2 months. Did you belong to any kind of trade union?
No.
What became your life's work? What was your life's work?
Well, the life's work, what do you mean now?
What was your life's work? What did you do up until now?
You mean till now? You mean in this country, man?
Yes.
Well, I got married.
Well, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm just became what kind of work did
oh,
you
yes,
do?
I worked. I had a, I was in business. I was in business for 45 years in Braddock.
Forty-five years.
That's
it. What kind of business
fish
was it?
Fish and poultry.
Oh. If you could live this part of your life over, what kind of work would you go into?
Well, I was very successful with this kind of business.
You were happy in
I
this.
I was very honest.
But if you had to do it over again,
I wouldn't. No, not in fishing boat.
No, what would you do? What would you do?
Well, anything else, but.
But no, what for instance can you name it? What kind of work would you go into if you had?
Oh, well, in a clothing business.
You'd rather be in the clothing.
That's
that would
right.
Be that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's a nicer, cleaner job. You know, that's what I mean. Too old to get in anyway.
Yeah, I know, but they ask these questions
that's
to see how people
that's
feel,
right.
You know.
That's, right.
That's the point. What schooling did you have in Pittsburgh?
No.
None at all?
None at all. That's the only thing I'm sorry. Thank you very much.
It's too bad, really. How long did you, how did you learn to speak English?
I spoke English the first 3 months better than I speak now.
Oh. Well, how did you learn to speak English?
Well, you know, my dear lady, I used to go home when I heard a word anybody say. I used to mark it up. You said,
oh, from communication.
From communication, or mark it and put it in my pocket and go to bed, you know. Like I said, if I would keep up this for, I was by myself, you know. I didn't
yes.
have nobody, you know.
That's right.
It's, you know.
How did you learn to write English?
Oh, well, I taught from Latin.
From Latin?
Yes, well, I, you know.
Did you study Latin in
sure, the... Well, I was, but I say, when I was, my parents was druggists, I used
to... Oh, yes.
Yeah. And besides, you know what I mean, that